New forms of governance. Corporations, academic institutions, NGOs, and professional bodies are all being reshaped by the forces and opportunities of globalization. Governments need an even greater overhaul. The consistent driver of organizational change must be that government form must follow function. Governments and intergovernmental organizations, such as the UN agencies, need to be reshaped to give substance to the Millennium Promises. Nation-states were originally forged in the cauldron of war, or for the purpose of creating a national market for goods, services, capital, and labor out of a congeries of local markets. Yet these original drivers of political organization are increasingly passé. National governments are too small to address global economic, demographic, and environmental threats, and yet too big to preserve cultural diversity and traditions, which are found at the local level. Nor are governments well organized to process the scientific knowledge regarding sustainable development that cuts across multiple disciplines. They therefore flail blindly when challenged by global forces they cannot comprehend. Challenges of extreme poverty and environmental stress get repackaged as traditional security threats. Military responses yield pitiful results. We've already argued for a new U.S. foreign policy backed by a major institutional reorganization and the creation of a Department of International Sustainable Development. Governments will need such restructuring so that they can better understand and respond to the complex forms of environmental change, demography, and economy that are reshaping geopolitics. Intergovernmental processes must also change in fundamental ways. The European Union is surely the harbinger of further regional integration to come. As our problems have become global, old nation-state boundaries have become too small to provide many of the public goods required at a transnational scale. The EU not only makes war unthinkable among its member states, but also provides critical Europe-wide investments in environmental management, physical infrastructure, and governance software, such as monetary policy, food safety, and financial market regulation. Other regions in the world, notably Africa, will follow Europe's lead in forging a much stronger transnational organization. Even the United States, relentless in its pursuit of its own destiny, has of course bound some of its national economic and environmental policies to the transnational North American Free Trade Agreement, NAFTA, including Canada and Mexico. These transnational organizations have had a difficult time achieving direct democratic legitimacy. They are often remote and theoretical, run by an appointed civil service or appointed representatives of member countries, rather than by direct democratic engagement of the people. Part of the answer is to empower transnational democratic institutions such as the European Parliament. Information technology can help as well. A wonderful new project, e-Parliament, aims to knit together the world's parliaments and assemblies via video conferencing and the Internet to forge a new kind of hybrid democratic institution at a transnational and even global scale. An e-Parliament that links national parliaments could help solve a host of problems. How can a challenge such as global climate change be addressed in a democratic manner when global institutions lack adequate democratic legitimacy? If the world's parliaments would hold simultaneous hearings, for example, with leading scientists and policy analysts presenting evidence to dozens of parliaments simultaneously, the world's democratic bodies could engage sensibly and jointly in a global undertaking. Even global legislation, or at least global resolutions on crucial topics like climate change, could be debated and adopted across the world. I believe that the sense of legitimacy and global connectedness that would result would be galvanizing. The imagination would expand as all of us better appreciated how common our challenges are. Another fundamentally important trend is localization, in which public goods are provided by the lowest feasible level of governance. While nation-states are too small to address many environmental challenges that are regional or global, they are too big and too unaccountable to provide many public services that should be the purview of local communities and subnational regions. Many countries have regions with powerful and distinctive ethnic, linguistic, and historical identities. Cases include Quebec within Canada, Basque Country and Catalonia within Spain, Scotland and Wales within the United Kingdom, Flanders and Wallonia within Belgium, Tamil Nadu and West Bengal within India. The list is endless. Devolution of power to these regions in areas of education, health, social security, and regional development policy is a global phenomenon and a healthy one. Regional governments have been among the most dynamic in architectural and cultural pursuits in recent years. Power to the regions signifies power to maintain cultural diversity and to share that diversity with the world.